Your basketball appointment show starts now. This is Bucks Weekly, your weekly checkup of your Milwaukee Bucks and all around the rest of the NBA. And now here's your host, Justin Garcia.
It is Bucks Weekly as we get you set for a back-to-back starting tomorrow night. It's one of those weeks where the Bucks are going to play four games. So you played last night in Brooklyn. You play tomorrow night hosting the Pistons. I mentioned it's a back-to-back. Thursday, you are in Indianapolis to take on the Pacers. And then Saturday in Orlando for some afternoon basketball taking on the Magic. We did kind of wrap up what we saw last night on Bucks Talk, but just to kind of close that conversation, yeah, we said after the Knicks game, there was going to continue to be tinkering. It wasn't just the drop defense is here to stay. I think it was important that you brought it back just if for no other reason than to build some more confidence with this group and give them some familiarity and some of those familiar crutches to lean upon. But we did say they're going to continue to sprinkle in some of the new elements, and that's what we saw last night. And I talked quite a bit after that Knicks game about the comments Adrian Griffin made and how impressed I was by the comments, but really the actions of Adrian Griffin as a first-time head coach, as a longtime assistant, and someone that had been through the interview process 14 times. You know, very, very similar to what Darvin Ham experienced before he finally broke on through and got that Lakers job. It could be very easy, or could have been very easy, for Adrian Griffin to see the struggles the team was going through in the first four games of the season, to hear his players come to him after that game, Wednesday night, Thursday, when the team had practice and kind of hashed things out. Could have been very easy for him to say, look, this is the system I want to run, and I tried for over a decade to get this job. I have it. I want to do things my way because, you know, if I bend on this, what else am I going to bend on? And this could be my only chance. So I envision this. This is what we're going to do. I'm sorry. That could have been very easy. And I think, quite frankly, a lot of coaches, a lot of us, not just as a basketball coach in your day-to-day job, a lot of us would have done the same. I think it shows true leadership to say, all right, I'm open to the suggestions that you have. I want this to be an open dialogue. I want you to have a voice. There'll be some give and take here. But as he did point out, there are going to be non-negotiables. But I do want everybody to have a voice. I want everybody to feel like they can approach me and we can discuss some things. Because I, as a player, I've been on teams, and as an assistant coach as well, I've been on teams where I felt like I had a voice, and I've been on teams where I felt like I did not have a voice. And what that does to your everyday approach, to your attitude, it's a big difference. So I thought that was true leadership to see Adrian Griffin this early into his career say, yeah, We're going to open this up for a discussion. And last night in Brooklyn, we bring it up because last night in Brooklyn, we saw some of that give and take. It wasn't all drop. They played some zone. They did a lot of different things and threw a lot of different looks out there. And it had to do with who was on the floor. As impressed as I was with all of that and the way that Adrian Griffin handled everything last week, I was impressed last night with what they did defensively. And that may sound strange in a game where you gave up 125 points, where Cam Thomas scored 45 points. So this is now two straight games where you have an opponent score 40-plus points. A lot of scoring, a lot of up-and-down play. The transition still not great on either end for the Bucks. But what impressed me, where I thought, okay, they're building something here, or you like what you're seeing so far, was Griff just seemed to know when you needed to take action. You know, the Nets go on that run. The Bucks built up, I think, a 9-point lead and 10-point lead. And then the Nets storm back. They take the lead back. From that point forward, when the Nets would go on runs, that's when you would see Adrian Griffin say, let's try something different. You went to the zone. They played a lot of zone in the second half, and it worked. The way he switched up some of the lineups on the floor, they went big so they could control the rebounds. Then he wanted to switch a little more, so then he swapped out Brook Lopez or Bobby Portis for Brook Lopez. And then the Nets started punishing them with more threes that you needed quicker guys on the perimeter to get out there. And Griff made the adjustment again. He said, all right, Pat Connaughton sliding in so we can defend out on the perimeter a little more. A lot of coaches will say, and look, the staff the Bucks had here previously, and this is no knock on them or any of the other coaches that do this, but a lot of them will say, we're going to run our system. If we're going to lose, we're going to lose doing what we do best. And we've seen 6 games in, Adrian Griffin, that's not his approach. He's willing to try things that the players are comfortable with and that they want. He's willing to try things they've worked on in practice, in walkthroughs. He is the guy that's making those adjustments. So I point all this out because for the last 3 years, really, that's all we heard from a large, large portion of the audience here. You know what I don't like about this coach? We don't make adjustments. We don't do in-game adjustments. We just do the same thing. We're only playing the drop. This is what we're doing offensively. There's no change. Well, now you have that change. And yet we're still hearing, well, I don't know how much leadership that is if you're already willing to bend. It's going to be an up and down process. I think that much is clear. There is going to be some setbacks. I don't envision the Bucks finishing the regular season with the best record in the Eastern Conference. I don't think that's important because you can count on one hand the last 2 decades. The number of times the team that finished the regular season with the best record ended up winning the NBA championship. We're going to keep saying it over and over. It's not about who's playing the best in December, in January, in February. It's not about who gets off to the best start 10 games into the season. It's about who's playing their best when you get into March, when you're moving through April, and getting into the playoffs. And that is what this team should be and is focused on right now. Oh, by the way, despite all the up and down play, despite some of the struggles defensively, despite the fact that we started the season having the conversation of, did you know the Bucks right now, 3 games in, have the worst defense in the history of the league? And conversely, hey, people are saying the Boston Celtics might have the best starting five in the history of the NBA. And yet here we are, 2 weeks into the season, the Bucks are just a game back of the Celtics for the best record in the Eastern Conference. I mentioned Adrian Griffin. Gail Klappa had a chance to catch up with the Bucks' new head coach. When we return, we go courtside, and you'll hear Gail Klappa's conversation with Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin after this on Bucks Weekly.
The next era of Bucks basketball is here.
Lillard, three-pointer for the lead. It's game time.
Giannis just inside the three-point line, working on Orlando Robinson. Spins around him, and goodness gracious.
This is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks.
Tonight, we'll unpack it all with a guy who's been in the middle of it all, the president of the Bucks, Peter Fagan. And our special guest tonight, who's traveling with the team, is Bucks general manager, John Horst. By far the best record in the league. And Chris Middleton is a huge part of that thrill ride.
The source for the inside scoop on every dribble, drawn up play, and decision made. Now, here's your host, Gail Klappa.
Hello, everyone. I'm Gail Klappa, and this is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks. No doubt, he paid his dues. At Seton Hall, he was named Student Athlete of the Year. He was overlooked in the draft, but made his way as a forward in the NBA for 9 consecutive years. Then to the sidelines, 9 more seasons as an assistant coach. Today, he holds one of the most coveted coaching jobs in America. Adrian Griffin, now the head of the herd, the head coach of the Milwaukee Bucks. And Adrian joins us for the first time tonight here on Courtside. Adrian, welcome. Thanks so much for sitting down with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Well, you're certainly welcome, Coach. And, Coach, the NBA season is off and running, and the Bucks stand now at 4-2 after a barn burner of a win Monday night in Brooklyn. What's your take, Coach, on the performance of the team so far in the early going?
Man, what a gutsy win last night. You know, to walk into Brooklyn and come out with a win is you know, every game is tough. Every game is important. And give them credit. They've been playing good basketball. They had just pushed Boston to the brink a couple of nights before. So we knew we were going to be into for a tough battle. But give credit to our guys. They played tremendously down the stretch. You know, your fourth quarter got to be your best quarter. I thought we made some winning plays, and we were fortunate to get the win.
And, Coach, there were a couple of key defensive plays. How about describe them for us right at the end as the Bucks were struggling to maintain the lead?
Well, I think it starts with our captain. Giannis was tremendous on both sides of the ball, in particularly the fourth quarter where we needed to get some stops. You know, the last 3 minutes of the game, crucial. He made just winning plays, you know, a couple blocks, rebounds. And then, you know, he on the offensive end, he was just as elite as it gets. And it was a total team win, total team win. I thought our bench was tremendous. We have 50 points combined from our bench. And I just thought everyone that entered the game contributed to the victory. So certainly something to grow on. And this was definitely a character win for us.
And, Coach, switching gears a bit, as every Bucks fan knows, Damian Lillard, one of the best three-point shooters of all time, joined the Bucks in a blockbuster trade right before the season began. Just curious, where were you when you learned the trade was a done deal, and what, Coach, was your first reaction?
I can't recall exactly where I was at the time, but John and I, we were in constant communication, and when he told me that we had a legitimate shot of getting Dame, you know, obviously I was excited about that prospect. And, you know, but it's, you know, it's a tough league because, you know, to get something, you have to give up something. So we gave up some really, really good players that are, you know, that were a staple of this team. But we thought what we were getting in Dame can help us, you know, and help us in the long run. And, you know, his reputation speaks for itself. Clutch player, elite player, but most importantly, he's a high character player. And you win with talent and character, and I think he possesses both of those at an extremely high level. And we're just excited about having him on board.
And, Coach, both Giannis and Dame have said they need to learn, you know, how best to play together. Giannis has actually, as you know, asked Bucks fans for some patience. So from your vantage point on the sideline, what are you seeing from these two superstars so far?
Well, I think Dame is 100% correct. You know, it's like any relationship. It takes time to foster the connection, to build the trust. But I think we're off to a really good start. But you can't rush the process. It takes time to build the collaboration. They actually have, you know, great mutual respect for each other. They're both high character individuals who want to win at the highest level. So it's going to work. It just takes time sometimes to build these things. But I like the direction that we're going. We've shown flashes of what's to become, and but you can't skip the steps. It's one practice at a time, and it's one game at a time. But you could see out there that they're getting more comfortable with each other.
And, Coach, I'm sure our listeners would be really interested in a story I heard about the first time Dame came to our practice center after landing in Milwaukee. And I think you were in the middle of your 100 three-point shot contest. Tell us what Dame did walking off the airplane in street clothes.
Well, one thing that we try to do is make everything competitive around the gym when the players, you know, just to foster that competitive spirit. So we shoot 100 threes and we track them, and we call it our Bucks 100. And I think at the time, I want to say Grayson and Malik Beasley tied for the record of 92 out of 100. And that is just elite. That's just, super elite as far as shooting goes, shooting three-point shots. So Dame on his first try ever in our gym, he gets 93. So we were just, amazed. Left in amazement.
And, Coach, as we open the season, Chris Middleton, coming off knee surgery this summer, was on a minutes restriction. Where do we stand with Chris' playing time at this point of the season?
I think Chris is doing a phenomenal job with just everything. You know, he had successful knee surgery this summer, had successful rehab. He's been working extremely hard during the preseason with his individual workouts. And then, you know, to play in these competitive games the way he is doing right now is just so impressive, you know. And obviously we're a better team when he's on the floor. But at the same time, we do want to be smart with it. And, you know, it's a long haul. Our expectation is to play, you know, late into June. So we have time on our side, you know. And, again, he's been great. He's doing everything within his power to be on the court and stay on the court. And his minutes will increase as we go. But, again, it's just about being smart with it. And I think we're right on schedule.
We'll have more with Coach Griffin in a moment. This is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ.
Is Bucks Weekly on WTMJ. Now back to Courtside with Gale and Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin.
Adrian, tell us a little about yourself. I understand that you grew up in Wichita as the son of a minister.
Yes, I grew up in Wichita, Kansas. Most people don't know that, but my dad was a minister. He was also a Navy man when I was growing up, and he came home after 9 years in the Navy, and he said, you know, God called him into the ministry, and he immediately, switched careers, so to speak. And he was a minister for 25 years before he passed away. But, you know, great man, taught us some really, really great values and, you know, just the importance of having a relationship with God. And I've tried to use that, to carry over into my adult life, just all the lessons that, you know, he taught us growing up, and just the hard work and no excuse mentality taught us, you know, that there's always a way out. You just got to work your way out. And, you know, when we were young, we would go out and mow lawns and knock on doors and pick up cans and whatever it took. You know, he did it. So he was a great example of just, no excuses. You work your way out of it and good things will follow. So he's definitely missed. But, you know, a lot of the lessons I try to pass it on to my kids. But really had my parents were great. My mom, hardworking individual. So they did. They taught us the value of hard work, and I think that served me, you know, tremendously, especially as I was pursuing my goal to play in the NBA.
Pretty valuable lessons for life, Coach. And actually, you've really come full circle. In 2008, your coaching career, as you well know, began here in Milwaukee. Tell us how that happened.
Well, I got traded from Chicago to Seattle, and Seattle moved to Oklahoma City that summer, and the general manager or president of the Oklahoma City Thunder called me and said I needed to get to Oklahoma City and start getting settled and looking for a place. And so when I flew there, I'm with a realtor, and we looked at some properties and some houses and whatnot, and we decided to take a break. And so we went to a restaurant for lunch, and while I'm sitting there at lunch, the same general manager, Sam Presti, called me and said, I have some more news for you. You've been traded to Milwaukee. So it was a tough summer mentally, as far as, you know, anytime you get traded, it's tough, not on just yourself, but on your family. You know, my kids were much younger, and you know, uprooting them and whatnot. But I end up going to Milwaukee, and I thought I made the roster. You know, I was with the team all the way up until the final day, which was around 3 p.m., and I was going into my 10th year of playing in the NBA, and I thought it was just such a great milestone for someone who had gone undrafted. And so the cutoff time, I think, was around 3 o'clock, and Scott Skiles calls me around 2:59 and said that he tried to fight for me and couldn't make it happen. But he said, hey, why don't you join my staff? And we had conversations about it prior to that, you know, when I played for him in Chicago. I didn't think it was going to happen that soon. You know, like all athletes, you want to play as long as you can. But I did understand at that time that these jobs, you know, as far as assistant coaching in the NBA, do not come along often. So I jumped on the opportunity. I said, you know, of course, I'd love to join staff, and, you know, the rest is history. So really things have come full circle. You know, Milwaukee was my first job as assistant coach, and now my first opportunity to be a head coach is with this tremendous city, and the fans have been so great. You know, they've been so welcoming, even back then, you know, so extremely appreciative to the entire city of Milwaukee and the Milwaukee Bucks organization for, you know, entrusting me with leading this group. You know, we have special talent. I don't take that for granted. It's a great opportunity. And, you know, quite frankly, you know, young coaches or first-time coaches, I should say, very rarely inherit a team like this, you know. So truly blessed. I couldn't be happier.
Well, that's great to hear. And we'll have more with Coach Griffin in a moment. This is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ.
You're listening to Bucks Weekly on WTMJ. Here's more Courtside with Gale and Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin.
Coach, the basketball gene must really run deep in your family. Your son Adrian Jr., a college star and now playing for the Atlanta Hawks. And the other night in Milwaukee, he was playing. The Hawks beat us, and he sunk a three-point shot right in front of you. What was your emotion when you saw that happen?
Well, during the game, I'm upset because I want to win, you know. And, you know, last year when I was coaching with the Toronto Raptors, he hit a buzzer beater against us. So he gets up for our games, you know. But then after the game, I get to reflect, and you know, I'm really proud of him, just proud of his journey. You know, as someone who was fortunate to play in the NBA, I know how hard it is. I know the challenges it poses every night. And I was 25 years old when I entered the NBA, and I know the challenges I had. It was very hard, you know, especially mentally, especially the nights when you don't play and you're in and out of the rotation. And so I can't imagine how he feels at the age of 20. But he's handling it well. He's taking it all in stride, and, you know, we have a lot of conversations. I'm fortunate to, you know, experience some of the things he goes through, so I can help kind of, you know, help him navigate through it. But, you know, he's up on me right now, 3-1, so we got back here.
Well, Adrian, technically, we should really call you Dr. Griffin. Last year, you earned a doctorate in organizational leadership. Just curious, what motivated you to strive for that advanced degree?
I think several things. One, before my father passed away, you know, his goal was to get his doctorate in theology, and he was in a master's program in I believe, religious studies. And so that was his ultimate goal. That's all he would talk about. And so I wanted to honor him. You know, it's kind of sentimental for me as far as pursuing that PhD, just to honor my father and everything he's meant to me. And so that was part of the equation. And the other part was just, I wanted to be a better coach. I wanted to be a better communicator. I wanted to be a better leader. You know, I played this game as well. And when I got into coaching, one thing that you know, just kind of opened my eyes was that as play, as you know, when I was a player, you know, as coaches, we demand a lot from the players. You know, we demand excellence. They have to be excellent on the and off the court, you know, in practices and shoot arounds and games, and then summers, we want them to be great and how they take care of their body. So we demand a lot from the players, and I wanted to make sure that I was demanding that same type of excellence and holding my own self to a high standard. You know, I just felt it was only right because, again, we asked a lot from the players. So I wanted to, you know, challenge myself to be the best coach that I can be. And, you know, I wanted to be a head coach. So I wanted to put as many things in my favor and learn. I love learning. I love to grow. And I think, you know, I inherit that from my father. He was an avid reader, had tons and tons of books. You know, my wife, she gets on me because I'm constantly on Amazon and Barnes and Noble, just ordering books and books after books. And, you know, I try to justify it by, listen, I'm like, there's a lot of worse things I could be spending money on, but I love books and I love reading. So it was tough. It was a lot. What a lot of people don't know is it was a lot of long 5 years. You know, I earned it. I stayed up a lot of nights, 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, my wife was a big, you know, my wife, Kathy, was a big reason why I was able to achieve this goal, because she would stay up with me. You know, she said she didn't feel comfortable sleeping while I was up writing papers and doing scouts and whatnot. And she'll put on some coffee and we would stay up to the wee hours of the morning. And I owe a lot for her because she wouldn't let me quit. And it was worth it. You know, anything worth pursuing, it's going to be sacrifices. And but I'm glad I did it. You know, a lot of it is that I wanted to prove to myself that I can do it. You know, just like I wanted to prove that I could make the NBA after going undrafted 3 years in the minor leagues, you know, just constantly challenging myself. So, again, it's more about me holding myself accountable as we hold, you know, our players accountable.
That's terrific, Adrian. It really is. And, Coach, switching gears a bit, something new shaking in the NBA, the in-season tournament with games played on Tuesdays and Fridays and the grand finale in early December in Vegas. I understand there's a whole lot of cash and a trophy involved. Your thoughts?
Well, I think if there's this competition, it's the opportunity to win, it's the opportunity to hold a trophy up over your head, I think why not go for it? You know, we have a team full of competitors. We compete. You know, when you step on the floor, you want to compete to win, you know, and expect to win. When you've done the hard work, then you can. That's where your confidence comes from. And I think it's going to be a great opportunity for us to get ready for, you know, April, May, and June, especially some of our younger guys. It's going to be playoff, you know, atmosphere, the intensity go through the roof, and it'll be good to get, you know, our team. You know, we have a team that hasn't been together long, so getting us out there under those circumstances and being able to compete at the highest level, and you could already feel it. You know, we've already played one in-season tournament game against the Knicks, and, you know, both teams are competing hard, and it's good for us. I think it's going to lay a strong foundation for us as we move forward.
Well, with the cash reward, Coach, I understand if the Bucks win, you could probably buy the entire book collection at Barnes & Noble.
Well, I'm not turning down any money, but.
Coach, it's been so much fun visiting with you, and we'll look forward to catching up with you on a regular basis as the season rolls along. And you've been listening to Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ. So long, everybody.
You're listening to Bucks Weekly on WTMJ.
All right, our thanks to Gail Klappa and Adrian Griffin this week, head coach of your Milwaukee Bucks, for that conversation on Courtside. An update on the injury report for tomorrow's game between the Bucks and the Pistons. The three two-way deals, the G League players, Lindell Wigginton among that group, but the Bucks' three G League guys out once again. So Ty Washington, Lindell Wigginton, and Marquise Bolden. Chris Middleton also out. So this is part of the plan. And I know there was, I don't know if I'd say a report, but kind of a mention in passing by Chris Haynes of Turner Sports after opening night when he was in town to cover the Bucks and the 76ers for TNT, that he basically insinuated, you know, talking to, read between the lines, Chris, it sounds like it's going to be about seven or so games that he's going to go through this on-ramp, ramp-up, I should say, process in dealing with that knee management, about like seven or so games, and after that, he'll be good to go. So I don't know if he means seven Bucks games or seven games for Chris Middleton. If it's seven Bucks games, that would be the conclusion of tomorrow's game. Seven games for Chris, I would presume, would be early next week. So you have the back-to-back tomorrow and Thursday. You got the Pistons in town. Then you go to Indianapolis to take on the Pacers. I mentioned Saturday, you're in Orlando to take on the Magic. And then Monday, back at home to take on the Chicago Bulls. Now, this is another interesting stretch this month for the Bucks because you started the season with a very, very home-heavy slate. There is only one time this month where you will have consecutive games played at home. And that's the very end of the month. Friday after Thanksgiving, November 24th, the Bucks' final game, or excuse me, second to last game in the in-season tournament, you host the Washington Wizards. And then Sunday, the same weekend, you host the Portland Trailblazers. That's the only stretch where the Bucks are playing two straight games at home this month. A lot of road games because you started out the season with a very, very heavy home slate. But to round it all out, Chris Middleton will not play tomorrow against the Pistons. I assume that means he will play Thursday in Indianapolis against the Pacers. And then you reach the point where you don't have another back-to-back until you get into the month of December. So, with that being said, and actually, I don't believe you have a back-to-back until January. So, you're in the clear for some time after you get through this tomorrow, Thursday, back-to-back. So, I think we'll start to get a better idea on Chris's progress by the end of this upcoming week here. We've seen two straight games where he's eclipsed 20 minutes, been around 21 minutes or so. And again, this is the last back-to-back for quite some time that you got to worry about in managing those minutes for Chris Middleton. And we heard Adrian Griffin quite a bit, not just last night, Friday against the Knicks, as well as Chris closed out that game saying, man, I wish I could have him out there for 36 minutes, for 40 minutes. He makes us better on both ends of the floor. He's the glue that holds us together, and we just need more minutes with those three guys, Chris and Dame and Giannis, on the floor together. Take a look at the injury report for the Pistons as we get set for tomorrow's Central Division Showdown and wrap up the show after this on Bucks Weekly.
This is Bucks Weekly on WTMJ.
All right, no games being played in the NBA this evening as this is, I believe, the third straight year that the league takes a day off in order for their fans to get out and vote. When we return to the floor tomorrow, not only do you have the Bucks hosting the Detroit Pistons, but certainly the most intriguing matchup on the Wednesday night calendar also comes in the Eastern Conference, where you have the Philadelphia 76ers playing host to the Boston Celtics, a matchup between the two teams with the best record in the East. And for the Sixers, we saw them on opening night. Bucks have yet to play the Boston Celtics, but Joel Embiid just scored 48 points last night through three quarters. And Tyrese Maxey has continued to take a very, very big step forward. That is your marquee game of the day tomorrow. I think second tier would probably be the Denver Nuggets hosting the Golden State Warriors. But for the Bucks and the Pistons matchup tomorrow, I mentioned Chris Middleton will not play. He is listed on the injury report as out with his right knee injury management. Marquise Bolden, Ty Washington, and Lindell Wigginton also out. For the Pistons, some big names they will be without as well. Alec Burks is out with a forearm contusion. Bojan Bogdanović out with a right calf strain. Joe Harris is out with a right shoulder sprain. Jaden Ivey is out with an illness. Monte Morris is out, their backup point guard, with a right quad strain. Isaiah Livers is out as well. And Jalen Duren, their big man who's really been coming on strong this season, is questionable with some ankle soreness. So a lot of injuries that the Detroit Pistons are dealing with. And for the Bucks, look, you'll take anything you can get, because as we went through at the top of the show, this is going to be a process. You know, you think back to where this team was, and I think a lot of fans can take for granted the success that the Bucks had the last 5 years. Wasn't a whole lot of change. Your system remained relatively unchanged. We saw starting in 2021, you did some tinkering where you added in a little more elements of switching defensively. But that defensive scheme basically stayed what it was for the better part of 5 years. Offensively, the same deal. And your core of players were all together for 5 years. Really, 2021 was the big year we point to with change. 50% of your roster was new. Bobby Portis just joined the team. You brought in a handful of guys that didn't last past the midpoint of the season. So they were packaged to bring in P.J. Tucker at that point. Jrue Holiday, of course, the biggest name that you added that offseason. So you had a lot of moving parts in 2021. That's when we saw some of those defensive schemes kick in a little bit more as well. But by and large, there wasn't a whole lot of change. And that makes it easy to find consistency. You reach the point where for about a five-year period, you could just roll out the balls and the Bucks were going to beat teams. Now, I mentioned last night on the show, Giannis took 7 threes last night. It was the 30th time in his career that he attempted 7 or more threes in a game. And the Bucks are 22-8 in those instances. So I don't think there's any big takeaways from that, because that's a 73% win percentage. Basically where the Bucks were under Mike Budenholzer. You just won a lot of games because there was a lot of consistency and continuity, and that's not going to be the case this year, and that isn't anything you develop over 5 games or 10 games or 15. We have tried to caution. This is going to take some time. In 2021, it wasn't until about the All-Star break, and that was a 72-game schedule. So it was about 40 games in where it felt like, okay, now this team is looking like what I expected them to be. There's even more change this year. John Horst said before the season started, this is the most change I have been through with a basketball team, top to bottom. Coaching staff, player changes, everything else that we're implementing, most change I've experienced anywhere. I think it's going to be months that we're talking about before this team starts to gradually piece it together and looks like the team we envision them as they move into the postseason. But no Chris Middleton tomorrow, long story short, and a lot of players out for the Detroit Pistons. The other thing to mention, talked about the schedule that this team has. There are no back-to-backs in the month of December. Bucks' schedule is not set because of the in-season tournament and quarterfinal play, the losers in quarterfinals, who they will play, and of course the championship game. If you advance to that, you play 83 games. But no back-to-backs in December. They do have 3 in January. And the hope is, by the time you get to January, all systems are go for Chris Middleton. Tomorrow night, Bucks and the Pistons, 7 o'clock tip, 6:30 is when our coverage begins, and we will talk to you afterwards with Bucks Talk.